Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Wednesday. Let's not waste any time. Let's head out to the Circa Sports Guest Hotline. And joining us now from the Sporting Tribune, Steve Karp. Steve, how are you?
Good. Gearing up for a busy day of college hoops here in town. We've got four conferences getting their tournaments going on the men's side. And, of course, the women in the Mountain West, UNLV, going for a three-peat tonight against San Diego State. Should be a fun day of hoops.
Exactly. It really is my favorite time of year with the conference tournaments in Las Vegas. And then next week, where it's the first week of March Madness, first weekend of the tournament. But again, as I've often said, well, Las Vegas is the place to watch all those games. Before we get into college basketball, Steve, wanted to get your thoughts on what's happening with the Las Vegas Raiders. Again, busy couple of days to begin sort of like the negotiating period. It does look at the very least that the Raiders will have a new quarterback in Gardner Minshew, although he'll be vying for the job with Baden O'Connell. Very short stint here for Jimmy Garoppolo. It didn't go that well for him. Obviously, Josh McDaniels was the guy who kind of wanted to build a New England Patriots situation here. I guess before we go to who's going to be the quarterback next season, your thoughts on the end of the run for the Jimmy Garoppolo time period in Las Vegas?
You know, it made sense when Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler decided to bring him into the fold because they had a relationship with him in New England. Okay, what they probably failed or refused to look at was the fact that we're talking about a quarterback who's in his, you know, mid-30s with a history of injury issues, whose best days were behind him. And frankly, you know, he had weapons. It wasn't like the Raiders were devoid of options for him. They had good running backs. They had good receivers. They had decent tight ends. And even the offensive line was not that bad. He just was not able to play at the level he had previously played at when he was in San Francisco. So, you know, it certainly when Tom Telesco took over, it was obvious Jimmy Garoppolo's days were numbered, and certainly Antonio Pierce wasn't ready to go to war this coming season with him as his number one. So, as much as the Gardner Minshew signing is going to be intriguing, I don't think the Raiders are done yet finding their quarterback for next season. I really believe they will still try to lure Justin Fields from the Bears. If failing that, they will try to trade up in the draft from 13 and try to get one of the young quarterbacks. They really want Jaden Daniels.
Yeah,
that's kind of the guy Pierce, he has a relationship with him from Arizona State, and that makes sense, because he might very well be, and no offense to you and your guy Caleb Williams, he might be the best quarterback prospect in this draft. So let's see what happens in the coming days, weeks, as we head toward April in the draft. But I do think the Raiders have not solved their quarterback situation quite 100%.
It'll be very interesting to see where the Chicago Bears, you know, where they go with that number one pick. Again, if their hearts are set on Caleb Williams, again, USC quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner, they would have to move on from Justin Fields. And then at that point, what is the market for Fields? And if there's not a lot of competition, the Raiders could luck into a very good quarterback. And again, I am high on Justin Fields. I would have no issue if the Chicago Bears did something else with that first pick, or they traded it and got, you know, a couple of picks. Again, I like Caleb Williams. Again, as you know, Steve, I went to USC. I thought he had a fantastic Heisman Trophy winning season. This past season wasn't all on him, but I think a lot of the people that I talked to that were around the team felt that, listen, Lincoln Riley, you can talk about his defense, you could talk about a lot of things about him. He is a very good play caller. And there was a lot of times that Caleb Williams just kind of did his own thing. And that's what makes him a great quarterback. And that's why he's been compared to Patrick Mahomes in terms of his ability to make things happen. But if you look at the Holiday Bowl, where, again, Caleb wasn't the quarterback, but Mitch, and I'm blanking on his name, Miller Moss was, and he passed for like 6 touchdowns. It's like, I'm not worried about USC scoring points. So we'll see how Caleb Williams does. I do think he'll go one. I do think the Chicago Bears have to find a way to move on from Justin Fields. And if that is the case, can the Las Vegas Raiders sneak in there and get a very talented young quarterback for, let's just say, a second and a third, or some kind of combination of picks where they don't have to give up their first round pick? Steve, one more question on the Raiders. Them being in a division with the defending, you know, back-to-back Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, the Chargers now with the talent that they have with Jim Harbaugh, the Denver Broncos, you know, coached by Sean Payton. Again, they're going through their transition. They are in probably the hardest division in football. I don't know where there's, you know, the pathway for them to get to be a playoff team. And again, well, Las Vegas wants a winner. Again, they have the defending Stanley Cup champions. They have the defending WNBA champions back-to-back. For the Raiders, is there a pathway for them to have a successful season, or at least a playoff season?
Yes, there is. And it started the other day when Christian Wilkins decided to come to Vegas to play alongside Max Crosby. Okay, their defense, I thought it was very underrated, and it got better as the year went on. Patrick Graham is a really good defensive coordinator. I don't know if he would make a good head coach necessarily, but I'll tell you what, when Pierce took over as head coach for McDaniels, and Patrick Graham basically was given autonomy over that defense, it perked up. And I think, you know, you're getting a guy, Christian Wilkins, who's going to take a lot of the pressure off Max Crosby playing alongside him. Now, they did lose Amir Robertson to the Lions. And he was one of these guys who was playing a lot better late in the year. So they're going to have to find somebody to take his spot at safety, which I'm sure they have someone in mind, or will draft someone who can play the position. You know, and barring failing to get a quarterback and moving up from, you know, 13 to where they need to move into, that might be where they go in the draft. You know, no one's talking about it, but maybe they go for a DB, a safety, somebody, you know, who can step right in. And that's hard for rookies to do, as you know. I mean, that is a hard position to play in the NFL. Being a safety or a corner is not easy. But we see it every year. We see guys who rise to the challenge and make names for themselves. You know, they are like Sauce Gardner with the Jets. This is a prime example of that. A guy who can just come up from college to the NFL and be a star. So let's see what Telesco does in the coming weeks, you know, as they build their draft board and see where this goes. But if you're asking me, like, you know, could they take Bo Nix at 13? Yeah, I could see it if they can't move up. Bo Nix had his pro day the other day up in Eugene, and he looked pretty good from what little I saw on ESPN. And I, you know, I know people are loving J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. I'm not so sure about him. Okay, I think if you're asking me, if you're the Raiders, you could have Nix or McCarthy, I would probably go with Bo Nix. You know, you and I sat together at the Pac-12 championship game, and, you know, as Michael Penix was, you know, leading Washington to win, Bo Nix was keeping Oregon in this game, man.
Yeah,
I love his moxie. I love his compete level. So I think he could be a pretty decent NFL quarterback.
Steve, very critical stage here for the Vegas Golden Knights. They've won back-to-back, which, again, like, sometimes you just need to get a couple wins going. And so, again, they have back-to-back wins. Their first winning streak since February 6th and 8th. So it's been a month since they've won back-to-back games. They go on the road tomorrow night to Calgary, but then they come home for a very, again, critical, when you have home games like this, New Jersey, Tampa Bay, Seattle, Columbus, before they go back on the road. How big is this stretch here, five games, to kind of build on the back-to-back wins?
Yeah, we're at that time of the year where you want to start playing your best hockey, get some momentum going into the postseason. And, we, you know, barring some catastrophic scenario, the Knights will be in the playoffs. Now, where they will play, who they will play, will likely be determined in the next couple of weeks. So I would say this is a big stretch coming up. They lost to Jersey in Newark back in January. I was there for that, and they were not good that night, and they still almost won. Took a Tyler Toffoli hat trick, of all people, to beat them. Yeah. But yes, the key will be the goaltending. Okay? If Adin Hill and Logan Thompson can play to the level that we're accustomed to seeing, they'll be fine. You know, probably could catch the Kings, maybe even catch Edmonton for second in the Pacific and get out of that wild card scenario that they're currently in. So I think it is important, and I think as they get all their guys back, I think I heard last night was the first time that they didn't have an AHL player in the lineup. And nothing against the Silver Knights and Henderson. Okay, they've brought some guys up who've done a nice job. But if you're serious about defending your Stanley Cup title, you got to do it with the NHL guys on your roster, not AHL guys. So let's see what happens. It looks like Jack Eichel is rounding back into form. Shea Theodore has played better with each game. I think Noah Hanifin, the guy they traded for last week, is really finding a comfort level play with Alex Petrangelo. And even Anthony Mantha, you know, who they got from Washington, they got him on line with Chandler Stephenson. I think that's a good pairing up front. And, you know, Jonathan Marchessault, he's going to cash in, Arash. You know, this is his walk year. He's making five. I don't think he's making 10 next year, but I think he's going to make close to 7. I mean, he is on a heater, you know, like a Connor McDavid or Nathan MacKinnon-like heater. He's probably looking at, you know, a 3-star selection for the league for next week if he can keep this going.
Steve, have you been to the Sphere yet? I forgot to bring this up before in talking to you. Have you been to the Sphere yet?
No, I've been by it a zillion times. I was hoping to go see you too, but I saved my shekels for Springsteen next week. I'm going to go see him in Phoenix Tuesday.
Oh, nice.
And then at T-Mobile on Friday, and then up in San Francisco the following week. I have not been to the Sphere. I've talked to numerous people who have. They say it's an amazing place, and the NHL is going to hold its draft selection there in June, and I will be there for that, unless I could get in to see Fish or, you know, somebody else. That will be my debut at the Sphere. And, you know, look, it's an amazing place. It costs over $2 billion to build, which is one hell of a price tag. You know, when you think about what the A's are going to pay for a 33,000-seat ballpark, and by the way, it's going to cost more than that. We talked about this the other day. This $1.5 billion price tag they're talking about. I have not been to the Sphere. I am looking forward to it. And if by chance I get to go before the draft, that would be a bonus.
Yeah, I mean, because Dana White, UFC president Dana White, has raved about it. He said as soon as he went, he dreamt about having a UFC event there. That will happen in September. Again, as you mentioned, the NHL draft will be there in June. Unless something happens before then, that'll be the first live sports event there. Again, you're talking about a draft, but the beautiful thing about a draft is you can pre-plan a lot of the programming there. And why is that important? With the Sphere, you're not just talking about a big screen, and then you'll see this, Steve, when you go, and hopefully we can find a way for you to go there before the draft, because you really do need to sense the immersive experience when you're sitting in front of a screen that is 360 degrees. I mean, like, everywhere you turn, and again, I did not see YouTube, but I did go see the show that they have there, which, you know, basically was filmed to showcase this big, again, to your point, $2 billion, which it's so hard to make money on a $2 billion facility that has no tenant. And when I say that, you know, U2 has concerts there. They have shows there. But again, there's not a professional sports team, and it's not built for that. But it's going to be kind of interesting to see how the Sphere is used moving forward for events like this. Do they have... again, so they're going to have UFC and the draft. Will they have the WWE or something else? You know what I mean? So, again, when you talk about all these events coming to Vegas, the Sphere is now, and again, it wasn't viewed that way when it was built. It really wasn't built with sports in mind. But I think everyone who's gone there has tried to figure out, I mean, how can we get involved in this? Just because it's a beautiful... you know, building or Sphere when you drive past it. And again, whether it's the Super Bowl or a lot of these other big events, you know, the programming that they have around it. So when it was the Chiefs in San Francisco, the logos and like F1 and all that happening. Steve, I believe this will be the last draft where all the teams will be there in person. It's a unique tradition that I think is great whenever you have a tradition. Really don't need to do that in 2024. They probably haven't had to do that for a while. But now with, you know, like 5G, Wi-Fi, Zoom, Skype, I mean, no other league has it. Will this be your first draft? And your thoughts on the on hockey going away from, again, the beautiful thing of all the teams there being there is you can have Kelly McCrimmon, and instead of calling the GM from Calgary or whatever, he can just walk to that table and they start.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on this being the last draft like that?
I'm sad that this tradition is coming to an end, because for the players who are getting drafted, this is a special moment for them and their families. And they sit in the stands, and when their name is called, you know, the hugs are there for mom, for dad, for brothers, sisters, you know, close friends, junior coaches, whoever is in your entourage. And, of course, you know, getting up on the stage, meeting Gary Bettman, meeting the team executives and the coach of the team that's just drafted you. It is a cool experience. I guess the NBA will be the only – well, the NFL still does its draft, you know, where – players meet Goodell and stuff.
Oh, yeah, but what makes hockey unique is that the teams are not at their facility in the quote-unquote, like, war room. Hockey is the one where
Right. The war room is on the floor.
On the floor. Yeah.
Of the draft. And yes, I have covered a few drafts in my day, and it is a cool experience. And you're right. A lot of these deals and potential deals get consummated on that floor. I remember George McPhee, the first year, walking over, you know, talking to a couple of other GMs, seeing if he could swindle them even more. You know, I think they were trying to move up from six when they took Cody Glass to try to move up to take Elias Pettersson, who wound up going right ahead of them to Vancouver at number five. And so you get a lot of that. And it is kind of a cool thing. Plus, you also, before the draft, the GMs do media availabilities at the hotel, and you get a lot of good stuff there. So from a writer's standpoint, it will be sad to have that go by the boards.
Yeah, I mean, I do think the Sphere will now, depending on how these two events go, will sort of be in that rotation to, you know, whether it's a draft, whether it's another event like that. And again, the beautiful thing about the draft is that you can pre-program, you know who the top picks are. So you could have this immersive display of whoever the top overall pick will be. Listen.
Yeah, all of Vegas will see it, right?
You can be,
you'll be a few miles away. You can see some kid from the Czech Republic that you never heard of. All of a sudden, he's like a 400-foot image on the skin of the outer skin of the sphere.
I love it. And maybe that could be like a new tradition, you know? And so, again, we'll see. Again, we know how much a lot of these professional sports leagues and college love Vegas. Thank you so much, Steve. I will be, again, follow Steve, and we can we're going to be at all the events here in Las Vegas in terms of the conference tournaments, Pac-12, Mountain West, you name it. So, Steve, you're the best. We'll have you back on next week. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by the Sporting Tribune's Grant Mona to talk about the current situation of the Los Angeles Clippers and where they are in the Western Conference race to get home court in the first round. And we'll talk about that when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. By the way, just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, let's head back out to the Circus Sports Guest Hotline. And joining us now from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona. Grant, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty well, Arash. The Rams made some good moves.
Yeah.
The Clippers are in a downfall. and here we are. We're in L.A. We're doing it.
I feel you. All right, before we get into the Rams, again, I kind of like all the moves that they made, even though they're not the quote-unquote sexy moves that are going to lead SportsCenter. We do have to get into the Clippers, as you just touched on. This has been a difficult stretch for them, and I think in particular when they go against teams that are above them in the standings, you're talking about the Thunder, the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, it has been a tough go for them. And that's obviously a problem when you're talking about a team that began the season, and certainly, you know, when you looked at them in December, you know, had championship hope. So they've lost now back-to-back games. They lost to the Milwaukee Bucks on Sunday, but then even worse, obviously, losing at home to Minnesota, 118-100. Graham, this is one of those teams that you've said time and time again that they've had a problem with. This was not a close loss. Once again, your thoughts on the loss last night?
It was such a roller coaster of emotions. The Clippers were up by 22 at one point, Arash, and the minute that Kawhi Leonard goes down with that, I guess they're calling back spasms, thoracic spasms. The minute he comes out with that injury, it just went downhill from there. From that point on, I think it was the 5 minute of the second quarter. And from then on, the Clippers could not get anything going offensively. They were just getting crushed defensively. It's pretty embarrassing on your home floor to be up by 22 and then go on to lose by 18. That's an insane turnaround. It's almost, I can point it to the same turnaround that the Kings had against the Lakers last week, where the Lakers were up by 19 and they end up losing by the same score. For this Clipper team, they are 7-8 in their last 15 games. Everybody in the West, I guess, except for Minnesota, is playing their best basketball right now, and the Clippers just aren't. It's very concerning at this point, Arash. There's not many games left to where you can get together a run. Kawhi Leonard, we don't even know what's going on with him. He walked off the floor. The TNT cameras had him in street clothes and walking out of the arena with his wife and bodyguard. I don't think I've ever seen that before. And they did say that it was back spasms, but I don't even know at this point. They could be saying something else, because that's just, the Clippers are very vague with how they work. And I understand that they have to, and there's a lot of protocols that have to go into it. But when you're left in the dark like that, and especially the team, I mean, just think of the team. They come back at halftime and they go into the locker room and Kawhi's not even there, right? It's just kind of weird how things work with that team and their injuries. So we'll wait and see. I'm very thankful that it's not a knee injury. I'm very thankful that it's not a leg injury. But back spasms are tough to get over. This is not just a minor thing. And Ty Lue was adamant about saying that he doesn't even know if he's going to make the upcoming road trip. So there's a lot of bad tendencies here. Usually, Arash, I say that, oh, Kawhi Leonard went down. You still have James Harden and Paul George.
Yeah.
And that was the idea, right? When they brought in James Harden, is that, hey, if one of these guys goes down, that he can pick up the slack for them and kind of carry the team. James Harden and Paul George have been very low level offensive players, not just without Kawhi Leonard, but since the All-Star break. I mean, Paul George is in a rut. He looked good in the first half with Kawhi. And then when he went out, I mean, he just looked slow. He looked tired. He doesn't have the same burst. These two guys, they do not have the same burst that we saw in January when they went on this tremendous run of wins. So there's a lot of concerns that I have right now with the Clippers, and it's not just defensively. They are a bottom tier defensive team now. Their offense, which was once second in the league in efficiency and rating, that has taken a dive too. Kawhi Leonard, even before he got injured last night, it was just, He's been shooting 26% from three, Arash. His efficiency doesn't look the same. And you can say that they have a lot of depth, and I do like a lot of their depth, but with Kawhi Leonard out, they're not going to do anything. And with Paul George and James Harden playing the way they are definitely not going to do anything, even if they're healthy. So that's the trend I'm seeing right now. And it sucks that it's happening right now, because going into the playoffs, you need as much momentum as possible. And every team behind them, every team in front of them, look at Denver, look at New Orleans, look at Phoenix, they're all, and the Lakers as well, they're all playing top-tier basketball, very urgent basketball. And for the Clippers, it is the complete opposite. I'd go as to say, Arash, the Clippers are playing some of the worst basketball in that top 10, out of the 10 teams that are in the play-in and playoff right now. And that's a huge concern, especially with their age and their history.
And really, it's been happening for the past month, which we've talked about, since they lost to New Orleans back on February 7th. It's been very herky-jerky in terms of win-loss, and a couple of losses in a row, and now once again, back-to-back losses. You touched on a couple of key points there. The Clippers have historically, and this is one of the reasons that Kawhi loves the Clippers, and I get it, they've been very secretive about what's happening with Kawhi in terms of if he's hurt, how seriously is he hurt? You know, you go back to when, he tore his anterior cruciate ligament. I mean, they didn't really make that official until their playoff run was done. And so back spasms is very concerning because, again, that is not something that, depending on the severity of it, it could be lingering. It could be something, but this is where the term that a lot of fans don't like to hear, but load management comes into play. I would be very shocked if Kawhi does make that trip. Why? I mean, I don't see the point in putting him. And again, I know these guys travel first class and on a beautiful private plane, but there's no reason for Kawhi to make this trip. And I fully suspect that again tomorrow night against Chicago in Chicago, and then for Friday night, this is a back to back. So like even regardless of back spasms, this would have been one of those back to backs where you would sit Kawhi. But anyways, going to Chicago, going to New Orleans, great. You touched on it again. You've been following this team for quite some time. The manner in which Kawhi left again with his family, with the bodyguard. Again, you don't want to read too much into it, but I two things are always in play with the Clippers. They will always be cautious with Kawhi because, again, it's about the postseason. I mean, you don't want to go on a four-game losing streak, but at the same time, you don't want to lose Kawhi. How concerned are you about how long Kawhi will be suffering from this? And, can they figure out a way to at least split this road trip without Kawhi?
Yeah, I'm pretty concerned just because any back issue, especially with a guy in his 30s, and I know you're going to say, oh, he's only in his 30s. Well, in basketball terms, when you get into your 30s and you've been playing for a long time, that's what's concerning. Back issues are nothing to play with. Look at what we've seen from Ben Simmons. He just cannot get over his back issue. It's an impingement in his back. Now, I know it is spasms and you can kind of work through that. I know Anthony Davis suffered through this a few times too with back spasms. And he didn't miss a ton of time, but it's just so hard to move when you have such back spasms. And for a Clipper team that needs Kawhi Leonard to do anything in the West, regardless of seeding, I understand if they give him some rest. But at this point, can they afford that, right? Without Kawhi Leonard, the Clippers have not been a good team. They're 3-4 now without Kawhi Leonard on the season. And Kawhi, he's that engine on both ends of the floor. And with Paul George playing the way he is and James Harden playing the way he is, where they just look tired and they look like they need a rest too, I don't have a lot of confidence for them to go even into Chicago or into New Orleans and beat those teams just because of the trends I'm seeing. I like to judge teams based on trends and matchups. And when I look at a matchup with New Orleans, I don't like it even when the Clippers are fully healthy, regardless, or when the guys are at the peak of their powers. And when I look at the Bulls, they're playing great basketball right now too. They're in the play-in in the East. So, none of these games, I know I mentioned this last week, but none of these games are going to be easy, regardless of the opponent. I don't care if they're in the play-in or they're out of the play-in. Teams are playing hard at this point of the year, and there's a lot of urgency around this point of year, and I'm just not seeing that from the Clippers, whether they're healthy or whether they're not. But for Kawhi Leonard, if he misses a week, that's devastating. I know it sounds like it's not a lot. A week doesn't sound like it's a lot, but in terms of what they need right now and what kind of momentum they need going in, a week can be devastating. And I sound like a broken record to Clipper fans because it seems like every year around this time, something happens. Last year is Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. The year before, they didn't have Kawhi for the whole season. The year before that, Kawhi tore his ACL. And, it's just that something every year. And I know this isn't a major injury like those, but, whenever one of your stars goes down, you just have to have a little bit more concern than other teams probably would.
Right. I mean, the fact that it's been both of these guys, and again, I remember talking to Steve Ballmer a year ago, and he didn't have the words to describe what it's been like when you have Kawhi and Paul George. And again, the only time both of them have been healthy was in the bubble where they were the two seed, the only time in franchise history that they've been a two seed. They've never been a one seed. And so, listen, we could go into that was a weird situation or whatever, but they had a 3-1 series lead against Denver, but that was the only postseason. Both of those guys have been healthy for the duration. It is crazy when you think back. I mean, that was 4 years ago. And now, you know, whether it's Paul George really putting the team on his back, leading them to their only Western Conference final when Kawhi went down the following year. No Kawhi, and then Paul George goes down for, I forgot if it was COVID or something, basically in that play-in. So they didn't have Kawhi and Paul George. The following year, they didn't have Kawhi and Paul. Like, not to have those two guys, and it's no doubt that it was a big reason that they're like, yeah, like, we need James Harden, because the fact of the matter is, we got a track record here. Like, we cannot, and again, we don't want this to happen, but we have to plan for the possibility that one, hopefully not both, but one or both of these guys might not be out. At least with James Harden, you have a scorer. Same with Russell Westbrook, who, by the way, he's out till the start of the playoffs. We'll see how he fares when he comes back. And so you hate to plan for these things, but there's no team at this point that has to plan for this like the Clippers. But at the same time, and you touched on it, what happened last night? You have a 22-point lead against, like, arguably the best team in the West. And then as soon as Kawhi goes down, that's it. The Clippers are a championship contending team as long as Kawhi is healthy. And I'm not saying that they're going to win a championship with Kawhi, but if they are to win a championship, if they are to compete for a championship, it is with Kawhi. And if Kawhi's not there, listen, I'm sorry. You know, Paul George, James Harden, that group, good team that could maybe win a playoff series. They're not competing for a championship. There's levels to this, and Kawhi, the reason that you did what you did to trade for him. Again, whenever you see those memes about what the Clippers did to get Paul George, I hate to say it, it's not just for Paul George, folks. Kawhi wasn't coming without Paul George. So you do that because Kawhi, and he will not get the benefit of the doubt because he's been hurt. When he's healthy, he's still a top five player. In my view, there's no doubt about it. He's got the moxie. He's got the championship. Look at the run that he had with Toronto. Look at what he did with San Antonio. And again, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I mean, that's the reason the Clippers made the moves that they did, right? Again, James Harden, at least James Harden gives you a chance to win a couple of games in the postseason. I mean, if they had James Harden a year ago, maybe they beat the Suns. I mean, shoot, without Kawhi and Paul George, they came this close to beating the Suns.
Right. And that's the big thing is that, you know, even without Kawhi Leonard, this team has shown to be at least competitive. I mean, even against the Bucks on Sunday without Kawhi and Paul George, they put up a pretty decent fight against a Bucks team that's playing really good basketball. So they can be competitive, Arash, like you said, but they're not a title-winning team. That's the reason why you have Kawhi Leonard, and that's the reason why he's so touted right now, is because he's a top-five player in the playoffs. Look at what I mean, Kawhi Leonard last year in the game and a half, or the two games that he played in the first round, he was remarkable. He was back to the Raptors Kawhi. And that's what the team is just banking on. They're honestly just banking on health, because we all know how good these guys can be in the playoffs. In 2021, Paul George set records in the playoffs. James Harden, I know there's a lot of shortcomings with him in Philadelphia and Houston, but in Houston, he put up 30 plus point performances as well. So when you have those two types of guys where in the past you kind of could rely on them, and Kawhi you can always rely on in the playoffs, I do understand the more conservative approach to their health. But at this point, when you need to get home court advantage, and the Pelicans, Arash, are now, I think, 1.5 behind the Clippers for that 4 seed. Amazing. The Clippers could be a 5 or 6 seed after all of this December and January talk about them being a 1 seed. And honestly, that would be a huge failure of a season, in my opinion. If you go from being almost a 1 seed at the All-Star break to a 4 through 6, that just spells disaster to me, because home court means something in the playoffs.
Exactly. We touched on the difficulty that they've had with New Orleans. So if they're locked into that 4 or 5 matchup, and certainly if they drop down a 5 where New Orleans has home court, tough boat there for them to be in. And by the way, with Kawhi, like, people forget this, and they go back to Toronto Kawhi, which was impeccable. Kawhi, when he was healthy, when they got to the conference finals, and again, Kawhi got hurt in the Jazz series, he was putting up numbers we had not seen an individual put up since Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, Kawhi in the playoffs is dominant. The problem is, to your point, we've only seen it in spurts. So to your point, a game and a half against the Suns, where you're thinking, oh man, I mean, if this is the Kawhi we're going to get, watch out for the Clippers. Same with this series against Utah, where again, Paul George puts the team on his back and they get to the conference finals. If Kawhi is healthy, Kawhi in the playoffs is different. Before we close out, the Rams had a ton of cap room. And the beautiful thing that I think that they've done is that if you follow the NFL and if you follow the Rams like you do, they've really, I think, nailed all the signings that they've needed to get. Let me just read off some of these, and I want to just get your thought. Darius Williams coming back, 3-year contract, cornerback. He was a big part of their Super Bowl team, so he's coming back home. Jonah Jackson, guard, signing to a 3-year, $51 million deal. Colby Parkinson, really liked this signing. If you watched him in Seattle, 3 years, $22.5 million deal. Kevin Dotson, another big guard, 3-year, $48 million deal. Again, these are big numbers, big-time contracts, but they needed help on the offensive line. They needed help at tight end with Higbee going down. Cornerback help, obviously a guy coming back home. Your thoughts on what the Rams have done so far?
I absolutely love it. And I think what this just shows, Arash, is that there is now a new 3-year window. All the guys they signed are 3-year deals. So now I think that they'll probably restructure Matthew Stafford's contract or give him an extension for a couple more years. Because I think he only has 1 or 2 years left on his mega deal that he signed after the Super Bowl. But what this shows me is that the Rams, first of all, they have a 3-year Super Bowl window to get another one. And second of all, they are going heavily towards physicality in the run game.
Yeah.
They have now one of the best offensive lines in football with two guards that are huge. These are guys that can just open up holes for Kyron Williams left and right. You're going to now move Steve Avila to center, where he played at TCU and did a very, very good job at TCU. Yeah. So that middle of the offensive line is now stout. It is one of the heaviest offensive lines in terms of poundage, to where you can just run and gun now. And the signing for Colby Parkinson, I love it. He's 25. I know it's not going to be that, like you said, sexy move, but it's a guy that is great in the run game. Again, a guy that's predicated towards run blocking, and he's a very tall tight end. You can throw to him in the end zone when you get into a red zone situation. Darius Williams, he was a Rams legend. He was a Super Bowl champion with the Rams. And in Jacksonville, he was one of the best rated cornerbacks in the NFL last year, actually, in terms of coverage. So, I love all their signings. I love what they did. And obviously they re-signed Kevin Dotson, who I've loved all year last year. He was one of the highest rated guards in the NFL, graded by PFF. So, all these moves are very excellent. They're going to have an excellent offense. Obviously, they re-signed DeMarcus Robinson, who was very good chemistry-wise with Matthew Stafford at the wide receiver position. So their defense, I would love for them to get an edge. There's not much left. They were in on Danielle Hunter. They were in on a few other guys. They ended up not getting him, but I think that maybe one more defensive player, if not, they're probably going to draft an edge or draft a corner, Nate Wiggins or Chop Robinson. But for the Rams, I just love it so much because they are finally spending money again. They addressed some very big needs, and now they have a new 3-year window to go win another Super Bowl.
And that was my thought too, Grant. All these 3-year contracts, I mean, I really love the plan that they have in place. And again, they brought in guys that fit the system, fit what they're doing, team first guys. Again, not the sexy picks that we saw when they won the Super Bowl. Remember when they got Von Miller, Odell Beckham Jr. and traded for Stafford? That's fine. I think this team showed what they can do a year ago, building off that, and then having a first round pick, which they haven't had since they selected Goff. Grant, you're the best. Let's do it again soon. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.